There is a chance. There's a good chance. You know, we'll see again what their pitch count is because they haven't been playing all that much at their previous teams to this point in the season. It'll be an interesting rhythm to see what we can get established there, and trying to put each player in the best position with the right amount of reps for each of those guys.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the additions on the defensive line that were made earlier this week. Both expected to be available and playing, according to McDermott there, sort of meeting out.
They're exactly, on the active roster.
Exactly so, how much, right. Yeah, yeah, they were not brought in to be practice squad dudes and wait for an opportunity. I think they're probably going to go right in. So Jordan Phillips and Quinton Jefferson, we'll see what kind of impact I would expect. If you, this is such a lousy way to put this. I would be optimistic about getting a few plays from Jordan Phillips. Like, he's capable of making plays. He's also capable of tearing a hamstring just moving. So, like, I worry about, like, him longevity-wise. I feel like he's a shooting star. Like, it just, right? Although even at this age, maybe there's not so much shooting left. But I feel like he just goes so hard that he breaks. Is what happens. Yeah. Read it. Find his injury history. It'll take you a while.
Yeah,
it is, there's a lot. I'm not making fun of him for it. I mean, it's just he's had a tough time staying healthy, is what he's had. So anyway, 803-0550 is the number here if you want to get in. Nate Geary is in for Mike Schoep today. I am the Bulldog. Joe Kelly hanging out as well in place of Zach, who's on his way to Austin, Texas, to see his beloved Texas Longhorns play some college football tomorrow. So how about you? How much of a favor, if at all, do you think the Colts have done here to the Bills? Or are they making it harder? Flacco, would you prefer to see the Bills play Flacco 100%, or Richardson?
100%. The thing last year...
You'd rather see Flacco.
Yeah, yeah. The thing last year where he looked like an all-pro for 7 weeks and then... Yep, they haven't gotten that this year from Flacco in Indianapolis. Last week was a tough watch. I usually try to watch the previous game. If I have time, I'll do it in all 22, but more or less I put the condensed version on, try to take some notes, watch these games, get an idea of what the heck. He did not look good. And when he was pressured, he's always been a statue. He is end of career Peyton Manning level statue. Still has some good arm strength, but yeah. I mean, if you can generate pressure with four and get back and into coverage, you should be able to do some things. The guy I'll be looking at with, Pittman on the bench, Alec Pierce early this season, the first couple of games and then Flacco's first game, was really a significant deep threat guy for them. I mean, he's averaging over 20 yards of reception right now.
Is he the guy who caught that crazy long throw early in the year from Richardson?
Yeah, I mean, he is... they drafted him in the second round, a high pick from Cincinnati. He hadn't really done anything in his first 2 years. Really, this year has popped. And then A.D. Mitchell, is a fairly high draft pick and was the other fast guy from Texas. He's had some flashes, not a lot of looks. Both those guys are going to get extended opportunities this week against this Bills secondary. So, all in all, I would rather play Joe Flacco. See, I mean, 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I'm with Sal. Sal and I agree. I feel like Richardson is so remedial. I mean, I don't think he really knows what he's doing yet, right? He's hardly played college or the NFL. And I feel like McDermott matched up with him. I would just feel like I'm going to eat this kid alive.
Yeah.
Sure, he is going to make plays because of his athleticism and all that, but can you win a game on that? I mean, I suppose he could be that spectacular. I feel like Flacco, you said a few things that I think are key there. Getting pressure with four. He had a lot of trouble against Minnesota with pressure. And, of course, that was a lot of blitz looks
That's
and a lot of
Brian
exotic
Flores
stuff.
Loves, yep.
And that is not – it's the antithesis of what Sean McDermott loves. So if you can win with four, then you're going to get your pressure, and then you've got something. But I think if you don't – this guy, I'm just imagining Shane Steichen trying to explain to Anthony Richardson what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage might give him for looks and to try to confuse him and all the stuff that this Bills defense has been so good at doing for the last, really since McDermott got here. And Richardson sort of processing it all, going like, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. Whereas Flacco, I think whatever Steichen is going to tell him, I feel like Flacco could finish his sentences. Oh, they do this, and then they do that, and this is that. This look turns into that look and whatever. It doesn't mean he's going to execute it and do it, but I don't think you're going to confuse him. I mean, he might not see safety, but he's going to have a pretty good idea. He's seen what Sean McDermott likes to do on defense hundreds of times, whereas I think the kid has would have no idea.
Here's where the prevailing opinion of I'd rather be facing Flacco than Anthony Richardson, red zone. It is if nothing else, they get to the red zone, they can run read option, they can run RPO, they can do a lot of stuff, and he is a real weapon with his legs inside the red zone. And you see how difficult it is for teams to defend Josh Allen when they get to the red zone. I hear people talk about it all the time. It's like he's one of the best red zone quarterbacks ever. Josh Allen, because he's capable of running you over, and you can run, you can have the run pass option, and he can throw it anywhere on, you know, he can fit it into small windows. That's the biggest difference for them is they're not as dangerous inside the red zone.
Yeah. And on, it's a good point.
They're not going to be running quarterback sneaks on fourth and one and third and one. And those are areas in those pivotal, important down and distance and in the green area. Like, those are areas to me where Anthony Richardson is so much more of a threat than Joe Flacco. And that's really where I think for me is, I'm sure Sean McDermott would have a heyday moving safeties around pre, post snap, and, you know, mixing up coverage looks and bringing some zone blitz and dropping back, you know, eight players, nine players. But at the end of the day, you just lose so much athletic ability. You lose an edge over the defense when you have a player that cannot move and is a statue like Joe Flacco.
I wanted to ask you for, well, a show and a half basically now because you were here yesterday and you're here now. So I'll do this now because, you know, the day's just going to get away from me. As someone who played the position in high school and then at Buffalo State, do you think Richardson is not playing because his completion percentage and interceptions are so high, or, well, so low and so high, he's just, you know, executing poorly? Or do you think he got benched because he tapped out?
It's hard because I've never seen a quarterback tap out before.
Right.
Ever. At any level.
I don't think anyone has.
I ran triple option. Like, there's a lot of times I was dog tired calling a play in the huddle. And you're just like doing it again. Right. But I've never seen it done. It could be. Here's the thing. I think it's largely a false sense of how good the Colts believe they are. I think the Colts think that they're good enough to make the playoffs.
Sure. That's probably not realistic.
And I think the general manager has a little bit of pressure on him from ownership to be a playoff team. They think they've got a good roster. They think they've got some good pieces. And I think that they think the quarterback's holding them back. And while that's true, I don't think they're a good playoff team with Joe Flacco.
Right. Me either. I think when your quarterback demonstrates publicly that he has basically no idea how football works.
Yeah.
It's tough. I think that's tough. And what I wonder, and this is only all you can do is speculate about, because I don't know the kid. I don't know, like, what, but what else doesn't he know? You know, like, it's such a fundamental, elemental piece of playing that position at the highest level is missing. Like, what else day to day is he missing some common sense that,
well,
like,
this is,
I'm not saying the kid has to be stupid. He just might be one of these people that doesn't get it, you know? And, like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to keep rolling with that guy.
I will tell you this. It's so hard to judge this not knowing what it's like at practice. Because I don't know.
Right, that's what I mean, yeah.
Because it could be very obvious to everyone at practice that, like, this guy shouldn't be out there.
Right.
And there is a real, and this goes at any level of, and it's probably just about every sport. If there is some sort of, like, preferential treatment towards a player because of where he came from, draft status, bring it down, parental, their dad's a booster, and you as a player are watching this guy or gal in a position of he or she is not the best player there that's helping this team win, that's how you lose a locker room, like, for sure, especially a team that has a lot of veterans like Indianapolis does. I don't think it's a leadership thing. Like, I saw him, they showed him at halftime last week. He was the last guy. Like, he seems like a guy that's doing the right things, that says the right things. I think he's young. He's a little immature. He didn't play a lot in college. And they drafted him really high. By the way, if they didn't, somebody else would.
I would have drafted him first. Yeah. I loved him coming out.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not someone who's been, like, laughing at the draft pick or dogging him all along. I feel like the tapping out made them able to hide behind the stats.
Totally.
Like he's been playing badly. He deserved to be benched, but we want to see it through because we have a lot invested. And, oh, wait, he said what? What did he – what? Yeah. What? Oh.
What it was, I think it was probably something along where it's like there's this trend of self-inflicted wounds where he's hurting his credibility with his teammates by being what he's saying in front of the media.
Right.
But his play in practice, his preparation, like those are just all things that I don't know. But I would be the tip of the sword is definitely the tapping out and then telling people, I was just tired. Like, even his teammate is on the podcast on that Monday is like, yeah, like, just lie. Like, say.
Right. Well, furthermore, you while I'm into really reachy speculation territory, yeah. How does someone, like, media relations, somebody, get a hold of him before he goes to meet with the media?
Hey, they're going
to
ask you about this.
They're definitely going to ask you about it. What are you going to say? All right. Don't say that. Here's what you should say.
Let me help you.
You should say you felt something in your hamstring and you were worried and you needed to go get looked at. Well, you didn't even go in the blue tent. Well, once I realized that I was okay, I didn't need to. Whatever.
Right.
Just roll out something. The organization leaving him there to, again, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, maybe there wasn't time. I don't know how all that works, but I just feel like somebody should have protected him. And they just let him roll that out there, and it was just such a horrible look. It seems silly to think, like, a player with that much potential could be getting held back by that, but I wonder if it's not, like, just the first public acknowledgement we've had of something that they've been dealing with since they drafted him. Like, is he just not quite all the way there? Like, a little Russell Wilson-esque, you know, oddball guy, whatever. I don't know, because, yeah, I was tired. I had to come out. What?
Yeah, it's just...
Dude, yeah. Brutal. 803-0550 is the number. He's Nate Geary in for Mike Shope today. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.